Good afternoon, everyone. So in Parshas Vayitze, in the first Aliyah, the Torah says as follows: Vayifka b'makom vayolin sham ki va'ashemesh vayikach mi'avni ha'makom vayosem ra'ashosav vayishkav b'makom ha'hu. So Yaakov came to a certain place, which is of much discussion in Chazal, and he slept there, and he slept on some rocks that he placed around his head. So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis cites a brisa that extrapolates the words Vayifga b'makom, pegia b'makom, the confrontation or the encounter in that place, as a reference to tefillah. And the Gemara there derives that Yaakov Avinu was the person who established tefillas arvis. This is part of the brisa that supports the position that Tfilos Avos Teknum, that Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv were all established by the Avos, that Avram was Misakin Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, and Yaakov was Misakin Tfilas Arvis, the Tfila of Maariv. So let's discuss the uniqueness of the Tfila of Maariv, specifically with respect to its legal status, as to whether it is a Rishus or a Tfilas Chova, and if it is a Tfilas Rishus, then what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis cites a machlokas tanoim whether it's the case that tefillas arvis is chova or reshus. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it's a tefillas chova, whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a tefillas reshus. If tefillas arvis is a tefillas chova, so then there's nothing that differentiates it from shachris and mincha. We have three tefillos, all established by the avos, that are all types of tefillos chova that correspond to different times of the day. But if tefillas arvis is reshus, then that drives a wedge between Maariv and Shachris and Mincha. Whereas Shachris and Mincha are tefillos of Chova, Maariv stands out as having a different legal status. How do we paskin on this matter? So according to most Rishonim, lehalacha, we rule in accordance with Rabbi Yoshua that tefillos arvis is Rishus, and that's because the Gemara cites Rava, who paskins like Rabbi Yoshua. We'll see later on whether there's any difference bizman hazeh in terms of our approach towards tefillos arvis Rishus. But at least with respect to the machlokas tanoim, whether tefillas arvis is chova or reshus, fundamentally, it seems to be that we hold, like Rabbi Yoshua, that tefillas arvis reshus. So let's focus on the following questions. Number one, what lies at the root of the dispute between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, whether tefillas arvis is chova or reshus? What is the nukudas machlokas between the tanoim? And then if we focus in on the position that tefillas arvis is reshus, because as we said, the halacha, that's how we rule, so then according to that position, why is Maariv considered reshus as opposed to Shachris and Mincha? And what are the precise definition and character of a tefillas reshus? What does it mean to be a tefillas reshus? And finally, what are the ramifications of being a tefillas reshus and of the various definitions that we'll try to lay out as to what a tefillas reshus really is. So let's begin with the first question as to the nekudas hamachlokas, the root of the dispute between the tanoim as to whether Maariv is a tefillas reshus or a tefillas chova. So the Pnei Yoshua in his commentary in Brachos on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis presents two different approaches towards the nekudas hamachlokas, both of which are very significant for our analysis. The first approach in the Pnei Yoshua is that the machlokas tanoim, whether Maariv is a reshus or chova, really revolves around a different machlokas, a machlokas between two braisos, whether tefillos avos teknum or tefillos keneged tmidin teknum. Where was the original source of the three tefillos, the establishment of the avos, as we said at the very beginning, or were they keneged tmidin teknum? Did Chazal establish these three tefillos in correspondence to the korbanos that were offered during the day, the tamid shel shachris, the tamid shel vina harbayim, and at night, the hektar chalavim ve'ivarim, the burning of the fats that could take place on the mizbeach all night, corresponding to shachris, mincha, and maariv, respectively. So the Pnei Yoshua says that if tefillos avos teknum, if it's the case that the avos established the tefillos, so then there should be no difference between shachris and mincha on the one hand and maariv on the other. After all, each tefillah was established by a different by one of the avos. There shouldn't be anything that differentiates them, and that's the root of the position that tefillas arvis is a chova. It's because tefillos avos teknum. Whereas if tefillos keneged tmidin teknum, if the tefillos correspond to the different korbanos that were offered during the day to the tmidin and to the hektar chalavim ve'ivarim, the burning of the fats at night, So then we can understand why Ma'ariv would be Rishus while Shacharis and Mincha would be Tfilos Chova. Shacharis and Mincha are Tfilos Chova because both of the Tmidin were Chiyuv to bring every single day. But the Hekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim, the sacrificing and burning of the limbs and fats that could be done all night, those were not a necessary condition for Kapara. Those were not necessary for the effect of the Korbanos. The sacrificing of the Tmidin was sufficient in and of itself. The Hekter Chalavim Ve'Ivarim was a mitzvah, but it was not necessary for Kapara. And since it's not necessary, so then the tefillah that corresponds to it also will not be defined as a chova, but rather as a rishus. So this is the first position of the Pnei Yehoshua as to what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas, whether Tfilos Arvis is Chova or Rishus. It really revolves around the Machlokas, whether Tfilos Avus Tiknum, in which case Mariv will be a Chova, or Tfilos Kneget Midin Tiknum, in which case Mariv will be a Rishus. The Pnei Yehoshua then suggests a second approach, which is that really, according to everyone, we can say Tfilos Avus Tiknum, meaning according to both positions, I mean Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, whether Mariv is a Rishus or a Chova, they can both agree that Tfilos Avus Tiknum, that the origin, the source of the tefillos, was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But the debate between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua really centers around the intention of Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov davens in this week's Parsha, Vayivga Bamakom, what exactly was his intention? So according to the Manda Omar Chova, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that tefillos Arvis is a Chova, just like Shachar and Mincha, so Yaakov had the same intention as did Avraham and Yitzchak when they established their tefillos. Yaakov davened towards the nighttime, and he had the intention to establish that tefillah forever, that his tefillah should be the origin of tefillahs arvis forever for Klal Yisrael. In which case, so there wouldn't be anything to differentiate Ma'ariv from Shacharis and Mincha. All of them were established as tefillahs chova. But according to the Manda Amar Rishus, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, so Yaakov Avinu's intention, says the Pnei Yehoshua, was very different from the intention of Avraham and Yitzchak. Whereas Avraham and Yitzchak had the intention to establish tefillos for forever and always, meaning for as a chova for perpetuity, Yaakov had a very different intention, and that was to do a tefillas nidava. He didn't have the intention of instituting a new tefillah, but rather he was inspired to daven at that moment. And since Yaakov Avinu's Ma'ariv, that the Ma'ariv of Vayivga Bamakom was a tefillas nidava, so therefore what results for us going forward is that Ma'ariv is only a rishus. So to summarize, the Pnei Yehoshua has two different approaches as to why Tfilas Arvis Rishus are Chova. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? The first approach is that it all depends on whether Avos Tiknum or Kneged Tmidin Tiknum. If Avos Tiknum, then Ma'ariv is a Chova. If Kneged Tmidin Tiknum, then Ma'ariv is only a Rishus. Then the second approach is that it all depends on Yaakov Avinu's intention. We're within the world of Tfilas Avos Tiknum, but what was Yaakov Avinu's mindset when he davened Ma'ariv? So according to the Manda Omer Chova, Yaakov had the intention to establish it as a Tfilas Chova, whereas according to the Manda Omer Rishus, he had the intention only to daven as a Tfilas Nedava. So let's take a step back and try to analyze the relationship between these two approaches of the Pnei Yehoshua. So these two bases for Tfilas Arvis Rishus that the Pnei Yehoshua suggests may reflect two fundamentally different approaches towards the character of Ma'ariv as a Tfilas Rishus. Again, there are two possibilities that the Pnei Yehoshua suggests. The first is that Ma'ariv is a Rishus because it corresponds to Hekter Chalavim Ve'Ivarim, because it corresponds to the burning of the fats and limbs that could take place all night, and those were not necessary for Kapara. That's the first basis. And the second basis is that it all revolves around Yaakov Avinu's intention to daven only as a Tfilas Nidava. So according to the first basis, that the Rishus of Tfilas Ma'ariv is because of the Rishus of the Hekter Chalavim Ve'Ivarim, so how exactly would we define or characterize the Rishus? So we would call it a relative rishus. The Ma'ariv is not obligatory because its omission doesn't, the burning of the fats and limbs are not obligatory in the sense that if they're left out, if they're omitted, then they don't uproot the kapara, the effect of the korban. But of course, it remains a normative commandment. The Torah obligates us to burn the fats and limbs all night. They might not be necessary as a prerequisite, but nonetheless, it is a norm. So if that's the case, then that might be the way that we would want to characterize the Rishus of Ma'ariv. Then in the same sense, Ma'ariv is not obligatory in the sense that it cannot be done away with under any circumstance, but it still would be a normative commandment. Whereas in contrast, if the rishus of Maariv corresponds to Yaakov Avinu's intention to daven a tfilas nedava, so a tfilas nedava, a voluntary tfilah, is an inherent rishus. It's not just a relative rishus. It's something that is intrinsically excluded from the category of obligation. It's something that is voluntary. It's not obligatory. It's something that's self-inspired and initiated, not something that's normatively commanded. And if that's the case, if Maariv corresponds, if Tfilas Arvis Rishus, because Yaakov davened at Tfilas Nedava, so then we might characterize the Rishus of Maariv not as a relative Rishus, but rather as an ultimate Rishus, as a complete Rishus, meaning that it is totally voluntary, self-inspired, and initiated. It is not an obligation or a commandment at all. So the truth is that we do find these two approaches towards the character of Tfilas Arvis Rishus in the Rishonim. Tosfos in Brachos and in Shabbos and in Yuma, Tosfos is of the opinion in a very consistent fashion that when we say Tfilas Arvis Rishus, that's kind of lav davka. We don't really, really mean that Tfilas Arvis is a complete Rishus. All that we mean is that it's a relative Rishus, such that if there's a clash between davening Maariv and doing other mitzvos, or between and or other a legitimate a counter pressure, so then we can push Maariv to the back burner and concentrate on the counter pressure first, and then daven Maariv afterwards. But says Tosfos, under no circumstance are we going to say that you could just do away with Maariv without any counter pressure. You can't just decide not to daven Maariv, because Maariv is a mitzvah. It's just a rishus relatively, so such that if it comes in conflict or in clash with other priorities, that those priorities may take precedence to the tefillah of Maariv. So according to Tosfos, when we say tefillas Arvis Rishus, we mean that it's a relative Rishus. And what emerges from this is that really what we're talking about is a downgrade of the level of Chiyuv. Whereas Shachris and Mincha are absolute Chiyuvim, they're total obligations, so Maariv, it has a little bit of a lesser level of Chiyuv. It's still a mitzvah, but it's not a Chiyuv in the absolute sense that Shachris and Mincha would be. And the nafkamina between them is again the clash. So according to Tosos, Maariv is certainly normatively rooted. It certainly has a status of obligation. It's just that that status is lesser than an unqualified chova of Shachris and Mincha. So that is the position of Tosos. However, we find in the Shita Mekubetzes in Brachos and Daf Chav Vav, and also the Bahag is explained this way by Rabbeinu Yonah as well, that when we say Tfilas Arvis Rishus, we mean a Rishus Mamish. We mean an actual Rishus, not a relative Rishus, but rather an actual genuine Rishus. And if that's the case, then Maariv emerges as a fundamentally different category of tefillah. Shachris and Mincha are tefillos of chova. Maariv is a tefillah of rishus in the definitional sense. It means that Maariv as a tefillah is self-inspired and initiated. It's really like a tefillas nedava. It's not a tefillas chova. What we have here is a machlokas rishonim as to the character of tefillas arvis rishus. Does it mean that it's a relative rishus, such that it's when we talk, it's still normative, there's still some chiyuv, but the level of chiyuv is lesser than the chiyuv of shachris and mincha? That's the position of Tosfos. Or do we mean that it's a rishus mamish, such that it's a fundamentally different category of tefila? It's a tefila that comes from within, not a tefila that is commandment, that is commanded and obligated. So what would be the practical ramifications between these two approaches? So the truth is that we find many in different discussions in Shas. So let's begin, for example, Smichus Geula the Tefillah. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Dalet Amid Beis establishes that there's supposed to be a juxtaposition between the Bracha of Geula and Tefillah, and the davening of Shmona Esrei. And that's certainly the case in Shachris. What about in Maariv? Are we supposed to be somich geula the tefila? Do we have to connect the Brechos Kriyashma to tefila? So if tefilas arvis is rishus, does it require smichos geula the tefila? So this was a machlokas between the Rishonim. Tosfos and Brachos and Daftal and Amidbiz was of the opinion that absolutely we would apply smichos geula the tefila to Maariv, even though tefilas arvis is rishus. But they quote Rav Amram Gon, who was of a different opinion, who disagreed and said that because tefillas arveis is rishos, so therefore smichas geula letefila no longer applies. So what's the nukudas machlokas, whether smichas geula letefila should apply to tefillas arveis rishos or not? So if we think that that it does apply, that may reflect the general position or the general take that tefillas arveis rishos doesn't mean that it's a fundamentally different category of tefillah. It just means that its level of obligation is somewhat more lax or somewhat more lenient, such that it can be overridden by other counterpressure. And that's the approach of Tosfos. Tosfos thinks that tefillas arveis rishos means that it's a relative rishos, but not that it's a fundamentally different tefila. And therefore, we apply smichos geula letefila to mariv because mariv is in the same category of tefila as is shachrit. And since smichos geula letefila applies to that category, so therefore it applies to mariv as well. Whereas according to Rav Amram Gon, we might suggest that if tefillas arveis rishos means it's a rishos mamish, it means that this is a fundamentally different category of tefillah, it's like a tefillas nedava, it's a self-inspired and motivated tefillah, so then we might not apply smichos geula letefillah to that type of tefillah. Smichos geula letefillah might be a principle that is limited to the category of tefillah, that's the tefillas chova. But tefillas rishos in the most sincere of fashions, so smichos geula letefillah might not apply to. So that would be one practical ramification. Another very interesting machlokas is concerns cases of ta'us v'tashlumin. So let's say, for example, one is one forgot to daven mariv. So should he daven a tefillas tashlumin the next morning when he daven shacharit? So this was a machlokas between the Rishonim as well. Tosfos and Brachos and Daf Chav Vavim and Aleph takes for granted that of course tashlumin would apply to mariv, even if tefillas arveis is rishos. Again, this is all within according to the assumption that tefillas arveis rishos. So Tosfos says, even though tefillas arveis rishos, nonetheless, you would still daven at tefillas tashlumin for missing mariv. But the Ra'ah has a striking chiddush in his commentary in Brachos on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where he says that if tefillas arveis is rishos, so then tashlumin is not going to apply to it. After all, to begin with, it was only rishos. So what are you doing tashlumin for? So you missed out on a rishos. You don't do tashlumin for missing out on a rishos. And he says that whenever the Gemara talks about tashlumin for mariv, that's all within the opinion that tefillas arveis is chova. But if tefillas arveis is rishos, then tashlumin would not apply to it. So again, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas here between Tosfos and the Ra'ah? It seems to relate back to the fundamentally different approaches towards the character of tefillas arveis rishos. According to Tosfos, the tefillas arveis rishos just means a downgrading of the level of chiyuv, but not a fundamentally different category of tefila. So then we would apply tashlumin to it, just as we apply tashlumin to shacharis and mincha. After all, mariv is a mitzvah, so it's something that you could do tashlumin for. But according to the Ra'ah, tefillas arveis rishos may be a fundamentally different category of tefila. It's a tefillas nedava. It's self-inspired, self-motivated. And therefore, the whole concept of tashlumin is just not relevant to the to that type of tefila, a tefila of rishos, of nedava. Finally, let's discuss what tefilas arveis rishos bizman hazeh. So the Bahag and the Rif are both quoted as asserting that although we hold that tefilas arveis is rishos, nonetheless there has been a kabbalah to adopt it as a tefilas chova, meaning that we treat mariv as a chova, even though fundamentally we pass in that tefilas arveis is rishos. So what's the nature of this kabbalah kechova of mariv? What does it mean that we accept mariv as a tefilas chova? So Reb Chaim, in his commentary in Hilchos Tefila, Perek Yod, Halacha Vav, has a breakthrough explanation of a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam and the Ravid argued about a case in which one is in the middle of Mariv and recalls that he already davened Mariv. So should he stop davening? So the din for Shacharis and Mincha is that you're supposed to stop davening if you remember that you already davened that tefila. But for Mariv, would you have to stop davening as well? So the Ravid says that yes, you have to stop davening. Just as you stop davening for Shacharis and Mincha, so too you stop davening for Mariv. But the Rambam was of the position that you would not stop davening. For Mariv in specific, you would continue to daven, even though you recall that you already davened. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? So Reb Chaim explains that this really revolves around how we understand the nature of Tfilas Arvis Rishus. According to the Ravid, since we adopt Tfilas Arvis, since nowadays we adopt Maariv as a chuva, so therefore it becomes like an inherent Tfilas chuva, just like Shacharis and Mincha. And therefore it plays by the same rules as Shacharis and Mincha. So since you stop in the middle of Shacharis and Mincha, if you remember that you already davened those Tfilas, so too you stop in the middle of Maariv, if you remember that you already davened Maariv. But according to the Rambam, when we say that we accept Maariv as a chuva, we don't mean that we transform the essence of the tefillah into a tefillah schova. We don't mean that we now characterize the tefillah as a tefillah schova. Rather, the tefillah remains as a tefillah smindava. It's still a voluntary tefillah. But we take upon ourselves a chiyuv. We obligate ourselves to daven a tefillah smindava. That's the way that Reb Chaim explains the Rambam. And therefore, since in its essence, at its core, Maariv remains a tefilas nedava, so therefore you would not have to stop davening in the middle of Maariv, even if you remembered that you already davened Maariv. Since after all, though, to begin with, the nature of the tefila was a tefilas nedava. It was a voluntary tefila. So therefore, you would not have to stop davening in the middle. That's the way that Reb Chaim explains the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. And what emerges from there is that these two positions of the Rambam and the Ravid, again, correspond to two different views of Tfilas Arvis Rishus to begin with. According to the Ravid, Tfilas Arvis Rishus just means that it's a downgrading of the level of Chiyuv. So now that we've accepted upon it ourselves as a total Chiyuv, so now we've upgraded what used to be a downgraded level of Chiyuv. But according to the Rambam, Tfilas Arvis Rishus means that this is a fundamentally different category of Tfilah. So when we accept it upon ourselves as an obligation, we don't change the character of that tefillah, but rather we just attach a chiyuv to a tefillas nedava. We say that we're now obligating ourselves to daven what is at its core and definition a tefillas nedava. So what we see from this soya is that Tfilas Arvis really straddles the line between the worlds of Rishus and Chova. Maariv hangs in the balance between the worlds of Mitzuveh and Eino Mitzuveh. And as such, it really presents us with an opportunity to merge these two worlds, to experience the worlds of Rishus and Chova at the very same time. And perhaps I'd like to suggest that Maariv is the tefillah via which we express that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of a sense of commitment and duty. We come as mitzuvim, as people who are obligated and commanded. But while commandment is the ultimate root of our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of our Avodas Hashem, we invigorate our obligatory acts with the qualities of an edava. That's Maariv. We take something that is that hangs in the balance between Rishus and Chova. We come at it from a place of obligation, but we do so with the qualities of a nedava, of Rishus, of motivation and desire, of initiative and inspiration. And in that sense, Tfilas Arvis really emerges as a unique opportunity for tefillah. I wish everyone a great rest of the week and a good